This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's up, Memphis? Happy Friday. It's a good Friday. We got a 3-day weekend coming up. Football is back on TV, Jeffrey. Let's go. Last night's
commercials were back on TV.
What do you mean commercials were back on TV?
There was the ultimate college football was back. Was last night I had three TVs going, three games going. All three were in commercial.
Yeah, break. Yeah. There's
just nothing quite like it.
There's a small window there, you know, but that's a small window.
College commercial breaks are longer.
I know, but it might be 30 seconds of patience next game.
It was at least 3 minutes because I looked at my wife and I was like, this is unbelievable.
Jeffrey, you're a father. You should have more patience.
She was asleep at that point. And daddy needed some pigskin.
Anyway, we had college games last night, and they were pretty fun, actually. We got a few good ones. I didn't have expectations going into yesterday. I was just stoked to watch some football. We had our fantasy draft last night, so I was doing that while I was watching the games. It was just like the perfect night to kick off what is always a super fun weekend. We get a 3-day weekend, which is great. So we have a lot more to talk about because we have several more huge games. I'll tell you why I have PTSD about this Alabama game coming up. I just continue to get more nervous. And as you know, my friends, they call me Doomsday Drew because I always think that Alabama's going to lose at every turn. So I'm gonna tell you my fabricated piece on why I am nervous about the Crimson Tide later on in the show. We also have Texas and Ohio State. Tons of big games, lots to talk about. We'll get into that in just a moment. At 9:30 today, we will be joined by Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. Yesterday was, I think, a rough day for me and Jason. I don't know if you saw the news. I don't know how you could miss the news because they were popping the alert up at the bottom of the screen and during every single college game last night.
It broke right as I was going off the air. Gabe and I were doing like the switchover. Gabe's coming in, and I just yelled out, "Holy S." And he's like, "What?" I was like, "Micah Parsons just got traded."
So that was brutal. If you are a Bears fan like myself, obviously, if you are a Packers fan, you're probably ready to dance on our graves. I was shocked by that. So we will also talk about that. At 10 o'clock, we will be joined by Chris Harrington, my colleague over at the Daily Memphian. I believe he said something about going to the Minnesota State Fair. I don't know if he's been there yet. Has he?
So I think it started last week, and he said it was on the agenda. I don't know if they're going this weekend, but he had mentioned that he has the full intentions of going.
I have interest in this because as I was a longtime goer to the Kentucky State Fair, and I have an affinity for fair foods.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to ask Chris his favorite foods. I also wrote a newsletter over at the Daily Memphian yesterday about the Grizzlies. The premise of it being, were they really as bad as we thought last season relative to expectations? We can't really just say bad because they weren't the Hornets or the Wizards, but were they as bad as we thought last season?
48 games, right?
48 games, 48 games. So I will get into that with Chris. Then we have Jeff's bets today. We got a little appetizer of Jeff's bets yesterday.
Jeff was like, hey, we need content in that second segment. So
that's the glory of today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I come in here and I fill in for Jeff occasionally when he's got stuff going on. He's got stuff going on in Michigan, I believe, today. So he wasn't able to do the show. And there are some times during the summer where I'm scavenging the internet for anything that I can find.
Yeah.
This is not one of those days. I think we've got plenty on the docket to talk about today. So I am looking forward to it. But let's start with last night. I do want to get, like, I got thoughts on Jerry Jones. I'm upset. But I got to save that. I got to put my feelings to the side for a second. We did have college games last night. And Jeffrey, speaking of Jeff's bets, you had a really good night, didn't you?
We had a very good night last night. So we had South Florida, lost Oklahoma State. Their quarterback got hurt, so whatever, toss it in the can. And then Missouri, really, anytime you get Drinkwitz with an inferior opponent, that bad boy's going to run it up. And then just shout-outs to Wisconsin last night for
one of the all-time worst football games you could watch.
No, that would be Akron and Wyoming. I had that in the money line parlay. The parlay hit, so I think we went 4-1.
Yeah, very good night.
Yeah, we're really setting the tone for the weekend. We're establishing the run.
It was interesting to watch USF and Boise State to start the slate last night because it felt like one of those games where the trendy pick was USF.
Yep.
And I know as a sports bettor that probably made you very nervous. You don't want everybody
especially
on the trendy same
dogs.
Side as you. Yeah.
When I'm taking dogs, I want them to be unpopular.
Right. And USF, they got some turnover luck early in the game,
no question.
which absolutely sort of propelled them to get that lead. But that was just a beatdown in the second half. And there's two things that come away from this game thinking about, especially from the perspective of the Tigers. One was, dang, is USF really that good? Like, is USF that awesome? Because they might be a tough out in the conference.
It was 7 yards per play to 4.4. I mean, it was basically doubling up per play. Now, Boise ran 86 plays. USF only ran 53.
Yeah, but USF hit big plays. That's
exactly
the difference. Is USF the class of the American?
I'm still saying no. My takeaway from that game was Ashton Jeanty like the best running back probably of this century? And they have a lot that returned. It's also week one. You can get some weird stuff in week one. And then also, this was part of the, I said it yesterday, part of the play is like West Coast team going to play in heat and humidity. And you can just tell they just melt. And like you could tell from early that game just kind of had a vibe that was very much going to be in USF's favor.
So if you still say no to USF being the class of the American, do you think, well, I guess the class would be in the mix, but I watched that game and said, maybe Boise isn't quite what we thought, because maybe you're right. Maybe Ashton Jeanty was just that good. But to win in the manner that they did just felt different. And so do you think that there's what's the possibility it's USF playing against I don't know, another American team in the conference championship later this year.
So the other thing you have to remember about USF is USF still has Miami and Florida coming up here in the next couple of weeks. Like, they could start getting a little beat up. And that, to me, is a team, like, you know, if Brown actually makes it through the year, that feels like that'd be the first. But, like, last night was a perfect storm for USF looking awesome.
You know, that kind of shows the difficulty of the position that they are in being in the American, because, one, I don't know how familiar you are with Tampa, but Raymond James Stadium, where USF plays, is not exactly right off of campus for the university. And so it's very hard for them to draw a crowd. That was pretty evident last night. You have a top 25 opponent at home, and you
weird
can't really
kickoff
draw a
time
crowd.
Also, though, like the, you know, the 5:30 Eastern. But yeah, I mean, it's not like USF fills the building,
right? And so USF, from a revenue standpoint, needs to play these games against Miami and against Florida,
especially when you're trying to build an on-campus stadium.
But if you lose those two games, even if you go on to win the American, I don't think you're getting in the college football playoff. So it's a little bit of a conundrum if you're a team like, you know, like a USF, because you feel like you need to play those games to you know, have some sort of cash on hand, but those are games you're probably going to lose.
I also thought it was a perfect storm for everything to kind of go wrong for Boise. Boise moved the ball decently throughout the night, but they did not finish any of the drives.
Yeah, they turned it over twice in the red zone. So,
and then I think they had they fumbled. They lost three fumbles, and then they had the fourth and two that Maddox like threw one of the worst balls I've ever seen. Guy was wide open in the flat, and he just missed him by like 5 yards.
Yep. The other game, a game I watched almost entirely start to finish, Rutgers in Ohio, which was turned out to be a really awesome college football game. I was watching the Rutgers defense going, these guys could not fight their way out of a paper bag. Like, it was
which is
miserable.
The opposite of what you expected.
Right, because it's Shiano,
like,
right?
Normally they are tough on defense and they cannot move the ball. Last night they moved the ball great.
Yeah, they just ran it every play for 7-8 yards, it felt like, against Ohio. Then the second half, they blocked a punt. They scored a touchdown. They were up by like 3 scores, and I was like, so much for this game being fun. And then Rutgers just fell off the face of the earth in the second half, kicked one field goal in the fourth quarter, and won the game 34-31. But I thought that was actually incredibly entertaining. UCF, on the other hand,
boy,
UCF was the opposite of USF last night. UCF, the team that got the invite to the Big 12, USF, the team that did not, and UCF, very lucky to come away with a win here.
They got a 4th-and-1 stop. It was also the classic, it's like you can set your watch to it. There's just nothing quite like knowing first weekend of the year, UCF or USF, one of them's going to have a game that just gets delayed by 5 hours, and you're going to be like, wait, where is that game? And Jacksonville State had a 4th-and-1 with the game tied at 10. And it was like 4th-and honestly like half of a yard. UCF gets a big stop. And then they hit an explosive play on 3rd. It was like 3rd-and-8. They were trying to like run out the clock and kick a field goal to win. Instead, they hit the touchdown. And then Jacksonville State got it to around midfield and then just stalled out. Jacksonville State having to throw is not where they want to be.
I think only two more of note, although you want to come in here and applaud your Wisconsin Badgers. You took
great work.
Miami of Ohio plus 17.5.
Yep, got great closing line value. Like, within 10 minutes of me making the bet, it had already moved up to 18.5, so there's nothing quite like that feeling. But Wisconsin running the clock out down the stretch was just so key. And on the final play, I was convinced the tailback was breaking through and was going to go score. And then, like, he got tripped up by the turf. And then they just let the clock run out. Like, that was heroic stuff.
So Wisconsin wins 17-0. Jeffrey covers by a mere half a point. That game was 3-0 at halftime. My eyeballs were bleeding trying to watch that game.
So Wisconsin's quarterback, Edwards, gets hurt. and then they wind up playing the O'Neal kid. Miami of Ohio, I think you could have given them the ball in the red zone every single possession, and I'm not sure they would have scored.
Yeah, no. It was a painful football game to watch, unless you had Miami of Ohio plus 17.5.
But, like, even that, like, you were the whole time, like, it was, they had 117 yards of offense. It was disgusting.
The other two games of note, you had Buffalo and Minnesota.
Yep.
I was interested to see what Minnesota was going to look like. Man, PJ Fleck at one point, he was hyped as this guy that because he had that run at Western Michigan and was obviously they were really good. Corey Davis, all that. And then gets to Minnesota and it's just it feels like he is the Mark Stoops of the Big Ten to some degree.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that maxes out the job, but he's Mark Stoops if Mark Stoops were like an annoying self-promoter.
Yeah, I can see that. But it's just like Minnesota, usually scrappy, usually can be a tough out. Not every game, but can keep it close.
They had that 1 year early. I don't remember if it was his first year or second year. And remember, they were like got off to like a 10-0 start, and they played Penn State, and Penn State kind of knocked them down a peg. They're also one of those programs that when the Big Ten got rid of divisions, it hurt them because they were over in the West. And so it's like you had the way softer division, and now that the schedule's a little bit more balanced, the job's harder.
They didn't totally impress last night. Buffalo was able to keep it close for a while, kind of ran away in the third quarter. And I think that, you know, in the end, it was entertaining enough. It was an entertaining enough watch. But the most entertaining game of the night, Nebraska and Cincinnati. That delivered.
I think you're right. It obviously had the best environment. I mean,
we gotta listen. Can we give some credit? Because we so often talk about fans. Oh, these fans suck. Like we were arguing in the group text last night because I have two friends that are Cowboys fans, which we're gonna get to that. I'm sick about it. I have two friends that are Cowboys fans, and they're talking about how Bears fans are mad. I'm like, listen, we're harmless. We've been terrible all these years. People don't say Bills fans are bad.
And on top
people
of that,
people don't say Browns fans are bad.
Well, and on top of that, it's like Bears fans have seen some stuff.
Yeah, we've been through it. So we've been spending all this time talking, arguing about bad fans. Can we talk about some good fans? Nebraska has incredible fans. Like I continue to be amazed by Nebraska's fan base. When they came here for the NCAA tournament, they took over FedEx Forum completely for a basketball game. And we all know that's a football school. They filled FedEx Forum in red for a basketball game. And last night,
true, they sold out the football stadium for the volleyball.
For a volleyball game. I watched that too. That was great. Women's volleyball, sold out football stadium. Nebraska has some of the most incredible fans in the country, and they deserve a ton of credit. And I tell you what, they also deserve better because Nebraska.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Did everything they could to throw that game away, and it felt like they were absolutely going to lose when Cincinnati got the ball late in the game. And Sorsby, the quarterback for Cincinnati, that guy's got some wheels to him. He ran up and down the field on them in the second half. You know, I found it interesting. Patrick Mahomes dipped out early on his boy.
Yep.
Dylan Raiola, mm-hmm. The bit has become too much at this point. I'm out on the bit where he just does everything to try to be exactly like Patrick Mahomes.
I want to be clear. I was never in on the bit.
It was kind of funny at first. It was like, ha ha. But then you realize that he was being very serious.
He's
about
not in on the joke.
Exactly.
It's like a lifestyle for him. It's like he is trying to be Patrick Mahomes.
Which is a little weird.
Yes. It's like he wants to like wear his skin.
It's a little strange.
Yes.
They do look alike.
I mean, but okay, they look alike in the sense that it's intentional. Like,
right.
He styles
He's
himself.
He's done a good job of trying to make himself look like Patrick Mahomes.
It's like if there were another celebrity that I have a similar skin tone to, and then I just made my entire appearance look like it. Like, got the same haircut, styled my hair the same way.
Wore the same number.
Right.
Wore your towel in the same
Correct.
Spot.
Like,
before the snap, you clap the exact
exactly.
same
way. Exactly. Like, or, like, the
pregame routines are exactly
the
same.
Walking out, like, everything.
I bet you if Patrick Mahomes said, yeah, I eat corn dogs before every single game.
He would.
He would be like,
absolutely.
Coach, go get me some corn dogs.
Yes.
The bits become a little bit too much. So, I'm sad. Like, Nebraska won the game, which, good for them. I'm glad they won the game. They were probably the better team for the majority of the game. But they...
I think it was fair to say...
It was close.
They were better, I thought.
They were a little bit better.
I felt like... I didn't know how you did. I felt like if Cincinnati would have won that game, which they could have, I felt like they would have stolen it. To me, that would have been another example of, like, Nebraska under Matt Rhule. It's like, why can this team not get it done? Like, they really struggle in the one
score. They could not. Yeah. What were they, 0-5 last year?
In
games that were close within one score. And then last night, they finally get over the hump. Did you like so Cincinnati had the ball, what, on like the 40-yard line with a minute to go, no timeouts. Did you like the shot downfield there? You throw a jump ball in that spot like he did, there's two options. Or three options, I suppose. It can be incomplete. Your guy could catch it, but you're also opening the door for an interception like that. You're almost in field goal range. You don't have to take that shot all the way down the field.
I didn't
love that decision there.
I didn't hate it only because I hate when teams play scared and play for let's get this thing to overtime. Like My thing was they had a chance with a shot. I was more upset with the receiver. Like, he could have easily come back and knocked that ball away. Like, it reminded me of in the Alabama-Georgia game last year when Aeneas Smith, the play that ends up getting the pick for Alabama to seal the game, like, he just didn't find the football. He could have knocked it down. It wasn't that bad of a throw. I didn't think the same. I thought the same thing last night. I didn't think Sorsby threw that bad of a ball. But, I mean, like, that is the risk you take. It's like, hey, this is a one-on-one. If you don't make a perfect throw, it can be picked and the game is over. I was fine with them saying it was first down at that point. Take a shot and, hey, man, like, knock it down.
My only rebuttal is Sorsby was running so efficiently. It feels like if you just go quarterback draw three times in that spot, you're kicking a field goal at least. You know? You're going to overtime at least.
I guess the other thing I should say is my natural resting position is I don't trust college kickers.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And that was going to be
it would have been like a 50-yard kick.
A pressure-packed on the road. Like,
no, Cincinnati was the home team, Jeffrey.
Okay, that was the other thing. Was there too much red?
Yes.
My eyes were bleeding at one
point. That's actually the first thing that I
said.
I was like,
this is awesome. The building was sold out. It was awesome energy, everything. But I was like, this is too much red.
The uniforms.
Yes.
We need to have a rule in college football. Like, I don't even like it when the helmets are the same color. And sometimes you run into a deal where they have to be because teams only have one
right.
set of base helmets. Like, if Illinois and Clemson played each other, it's going to be orange on orange. There's no way to get around.
Did you see our boys at MTSU? I kind of tipped my cap to them to try and have some NIL budget.
They said no uniforms except for two.
Home and road, one helmet. I kind of respect it.
I feel like it kind of hurts recruiting, though.
See, I'm in the opposite. I think this was all a psyop by Oregon. Oregon convinced everyone that the reason why they were getting really good players is because they had cool jerseys when Oregon was playing the game. Oregon was buying players left and right, and that's how they wound up getting a lot of players. But they sold it as they're just coming to play for Nike and the jerseys. And then everybody started doing it. And I'm fine with if you want to do like some combinations or whatnot, but I'm convinced that it was all based on Oregon and people believing something that was never true.
I'm a fan of the different uniform combinations. Like, I like the Tigers have some of the best uniforms in the country, by the way. They're great.
Yes.
I don't like
when they wear the black with the black numbers. So when I can't see the player number,
it makes it more difficult. But Cincinnati, to this original point here, Cincinnati's black uniforms are great.
Yes.
Like, they're some of the best in college football. And they come out wearing all red against a team that's wearing white helmets, white shirt, red pants. I'm like,
I almost wondered, was it like, hey, we know the stadium's going to be all red. Like, let's come out in the red uniforms and make it look like it's for us.
I could see that. Real quick before we move on, we got more games this weekend.
By the way, one more thing on that game.
Okay.
Have you ever seen 13 of 25 for 69 yards?
No.
I mean, that is what?
Nice, dude.
Yeah, I know it's nice, but like, what is that? 2.7 an attempt? Like, that is, like, that's kind of the whole problem with Satterfield. It's like, man, if they have to throw, like, their passing game is just so awful.
Satterfield was a debacle at Louisville, too. Yeah, no, I don't. I think Cincinnati has athletes, though. Like, that's what that game sort of showed me. Like, they'll be competitive in the Big 12. I don't think they're going to, like, win the conference or anything, but they'll be good enough.
Where I think they're going to have a chance is they clearly are very good at running the ball, and that defense is pretty good. Because that defense got put in a lot of bad spots last night, and the fact that Nebraska was only able to come away with 20 points, I thought they played pretty well.
Just because I'm not sure we're going to get a chance to get to it later, can we talk about my PTSD with Alabama this weekend?
Yes, absolutely.
I need somebody to talk me off the ledge. Should I be worried?
Well, it's funny. You want me to talk you off the ledge, but I'm at the point, I'm the opposite of you. I'm very high on Alabama,
but
I want somebody to give me the why I'm wrong.
Well, okay.
So you tell me your concerns.
I have concerns about the overall season, then I have concerns about this particular game.
Okay.
This particular game I'm literally calling it the PTSD Bowl for me. It is a Gus Malzahn coached offense against Alabama with a running quarterback in the rain. That has been nightmare fuel for this team for years. And so, look, those were Nick Saban defenses. These are now Kane Womack defenses. I understand that. But that's just hard to get over. Number two, this entire season comes down to Ty Simpson. And I think Kalen DeBoer is smart. I think if Alabama had a quarterback problem, nobody would know about it. I think they're smart enough because what was the word coming into Alabama camp this year?
Open competition?
It was also Ty Simpson looked really great at the Manning Passing Academy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great, that means nothing. That literally means nothing.
He's throwing in shorts and t-shirts.
Yes. Against air.
Yes, and high school kids.
We have had very little sample of Ty Simpson. We saw him in the USF game debacle. We saw him against Kentucky in garbage time, whatever. We saw him against Chattanooga in garbage time, whatever. Like, he had one good play where he ran it like 80 yards for a touchdown, but I don't think he's doing that against SEC defenses, right? And you have two top recruits at quarterback on the bench behind this guy. It feels like this guy was set up from the beginning. He's the guy that stayed, that stuck around, that was willing to wait to get his chance because he wanted to play at Alabama, and it was like everybody knew he was going to get the job anyway, and then we don't really know what he is. We just know that was always the plan, and I'm just not so sure he's going to be the starting quarterback by week 5 or 6. I would love to be wrong about this, but I think Kalen DeBoer is smart. I think if Alabama knew it had a quarterback problem, it wouldn't matter. As a coach, you have to be a certain level of fugazi of fake to instill some confidence, and I just don't know, man. Like it's hard for me to believe. Now, we hadn't seen much of Mac Jones, and he lit all college football on fire that season. But I don't know. I'm just not sold on it, Jeffrey.
I'm worried
about this game, and I'm worried about the season overall.
To your point, Ty has had multiple opportunities at Alabama where the job was wide open to win it. And he never took a hold of it and was never able to say, like, it's my job. Ty is not like some two-star scrappy schlub. He was one of the most highly rated quarterbacks coming out of high school, and he is talented. What you also have to remember is they don't need him to be, I don't know if you have to have like the for sure first round quarterback, Burrow, Tua, Trevor to win a national title. What we just saw with Ohio State was a bus driver that kind of got hot.
You could have Jake Coker.
I still say it's Lane's greatest accomplishment. He won a national title with Jake Coker on offense. You need the guy that, I mean, listen, look at Texas last year with Quinn. Like, they're a yard away from tying it up with Ohio State. And so you need the guy that is going to kind of just keep the thing on the rails. And I think he's very capable of doing that. I'm also high on the fact that Ryan Grubb's back.
Yeah, but that makes me wonder why Ty Simpson's the starting quarterback.
I think they also know the team is good. We cannot be babysitting a freshman with this team. And I think they also know, like, time's of the essence. And so at this point, you need the experienced guy. And it's also kind of, it's a weird thing, but we don't see, but guys that wait his turn.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what this is. Ty Simpson stuck around. There was no doubt he was going to get the job because he was willing to stick it out all the way until this point. Now he's a senior. He's finally going to get his chance to play. quarterback for Alabama. I said I felt good about the game yesterday, and I just continue to get more nervous about it as I watch the forecast. And if we get a full gully
honestly,
washer,
what I'm the
that
most
is, that could be trouble.
What I'm the most concerned about is what happens if this game just becomes like a sloppy mess.
Yeah, we will see. Our old friend Mike Norvell, who I have a lot of respect for too, who was great. I loved covering or being there for some of his practices and covering that team. So that'll be a fun game. Texas and Ohio State as well. Any quick thoughts on that?
I mean, I just
– I think I like Texas.
The problem is, like, I just feel like everybody's on Texas. Like,
yeah.
I love Texas, but I'm now at the point where it's like, do I love Texas so much that I'm going to bet Ohio State? It's now a pick 'em, by the way.
Yeah. Line is moving pretty
yes.
quickly over there. Okay, well, we will talk to Jason Smith when we come back. Jason, like me, is a Bears fan. So I imagine he had a pretty rough day yesterday. We will do group therapy when we come back. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins today. And I now welcome on my friend, my fellow Bears fan, host of the Jason and John show every single day here from 11 to 2, Jason Smith. Jason, I would ask how you're doing, but I imagine it's not very good after yesterday night's news.
It's not. I immediately texted my dad down in Belize, longtime Bears fan. He raised me Bears. Texted my son, who was coming out of cross country. He's the future. You know, he's the future Bears fans. He's the new generation. And I told them both that we're cooked because Jerry Jones had done the unthinkable and traded Micah within conference and then to, yes, our rival, the Green Bay Packers. So now, Drew, as you can imagine, for many of Bears fans, you know, we took that. I heard from many of my Green Bay friends, too, gloating.
I did, too.
You know,
I did, too. DeMichael's texting me, of course. I just said, I hate you, dude. You know,
they get everything.
It's right. I saw Kyle Brandt was on NFL Network saying Packers fans have a privileged life. You know, like they everything. Yeah. They have quarterbacks every single year. Now they have the best defensive player in the league.
They're both 20. They're 26. So they're both, you know, Micah and Jordan Love are both 26. And he, you know, surely Jordan Love, I mean, I'm praying every day that he doesn't get to the level that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers did, you know, Hall of Fame level. But he's shown he's good. I mean, he's shown that 26, there's a lot there to like in terms of this guy as a winner and everything else. Green Bay clearly believes in him. So, no, you got their window now is wide. And it's what sucks the most for us is that it's wide open for, you know, you would think a good 3-4 years here with those guys really just kind of entering their primes. You could say Micah's in it. I think he's just getting into it at 26. And, you know, I don't think we've seen the best of Jordan Love. So it's scary. The one thing, I think our saving grace now, Drew, or solace perhaps, is that, you know, we have a guy in Ben Johnson who we feel like, you know, is more than competent, maybe an offensive genius. He's got to still prove that. But, you know, if you got to put together an offensive plan to, you know, for a guy that's a game wrecker, as Orlovsky calls him accurately, I mean, and Micah Parsons is that. You know, if Ben Johnson's the guy doing it, I feel better about that than I did when it was freaking Waldron and Eberflus. Come on, man. So surely we can put something together in terms of gameplay. But no, it's not. There's no way to spin this good for Bears.
You know, I feel like there's two people in the NFL world. There's people that are Cowboys fans, and there's people that have distaste for the Cowboys. Like, I don't think that there's – I wouldn't say I hate the Cowboys, but I feel like everybody, if you're not a Cowboys fan, you have some level of distaste for the Cowboys just because it's the Cowboys, because it's Jerry, because, you know, and I got to give – as a newsman myself, I got to give Jerry credit. This man is excellent at staying in the news. He was amazing at it through this, but to trade your best defensive player, like part of the reason why you have hope on that side of the ball, somebody who you just said is like entering their prime, isn't even like towards the end of their prime,
right?
At this stage, to the team that, if you watch the Cowboys documentary, he admitted he was like in tears over how crushing the loss was to the Packers in the same conference. You just traded your best player to that team. I have such a hard time making sense of this. And all I see online is Cowboys fans saying, well, I can't even be hurt by this because I'm so used to it by now. But to me, this just makes no sense. Can you make any sense of this to me?
Well, you had Micah grew up. He talked about that in his letter, a Cowboys fan. But more to the point, what you're touching on, I just saw the clip back in, I think it was February of this year. He told Jordan Love, they had like a, I don't know, it looked like a podcast or something, but there might have been Micah's podcast, but they were doing it live. He told him, dude, you know, they were talking about him maybe being a Packer or some other player down the road. He told him he wanted to be a Cowboy lifer and that Jerry Jones was his guy and that he had already talked to him. And we know, you know, Jerry felt like he had a deal with him and that, you know, that ruled out any chance of them trading him if you were going to do this back in the spring when you should have done it. If you were going to do this, if this was the plan, you should have done it back in the spring before the NFL draft. They wanted each other. And so to get to this point now and for Jerry to be reasoning it out the way he is, that I had a deal with Micah and I'm standing on that, right? When the CBA says, the rules say you have to involve the agent, these players are not at a point, right, where they can negotiate, that's not their profession. Their profession is to play for you. That's part of the CBA. That's why you have these agents. And so you got the best one in the business.
and you're not including him in the deal. So to think that you could get away with that, right, and that to be the basis of – because it was. In the end, you see that, you know, if you weren't going to trade him in the spring and all signs were pointing to you were going to re-sign him, you changed course, and you did so because personally it looks like feelings got in the way. You know, he didn't like the agent telling him to stick it up as you know what. And I would tell you that you would have gotten more of a haul, and just about every analyst that's broken this down has said the same thing if you had traded him earlier, right? Not put this – because, listen, those two draft picks, I know we've got some quarterback-rich drafts coming up, but those two draft picks are going to be between 29 and 32 probably. They're going to be late first-round picks. I like the DT you got, and you do have to stop the run. Like, Micah Parsons wasn't helping you do that. But to try to twist this thing as if it was the plan all along when we've seen it now, you know, it's been documented the whole way through. Micah Parsons wanted to be a Cowboy for life is ridiculous. And so, I had a couple, like my pastor's a Cowboys fan, and he had talked to himself. He was spinning me, gave me that good spin. Listen, we weren't getting anywhere with Micah Parsons, so we had to do something, right? That's a lot of money and a big chunk of change. You can tell yourself that all day long. But the fact was, like, that, Micah Parsons is a freaking game wrecker. Like, he's one of the players in the league, one of the few players in the league that an offensive coordinator or a head coach has to game plan for just individually. And I'm not trading that guy away, especially when he wanted to play for my team for life. I don't think they got a big enough haul for it. I like that Pro Bowl DT they got, but it's not enough, man. If you're going to do this, you should have done it back in the spring.
You should have done it in the spring. And here's the truth. You don't – they're talking about, well, we weren't going to go to the Super Bowl with Micah Parsons anyway. Yeah, maybe not this year, but guess what? You don't get to Super Bowls without pass rush. Like, that, every team that makes it to the Super Bowl, the Eagles had a million of those guys last year.
Has
Chris Jones
guy.
Does it all. Right. Yeah, every team has that guy. You need that guy to get to a Super Bowl.
And since he's shown us that the formula isn't paying your quarterback and your two wide receivers, like, you've got to have something on defense, and that's why Joe Burrow, as good as he is, what he threw for last year, over 4,000 yards. You know, last year they don't have a defense. They got the leading sack guy, but because that defense is so thin, you know, you're not giving Joe Burrow a chance year after year, a guy who could end up being like Dan Marino if he doesn't get back. Like, and so you know, this idea now that you've got Pickens and CD to go with Dak, but you know, a defense that, yeah, might be better against the run, but doesn't have a lead sack guy. That's not the way you do it. And in this case, I think Jerry Jones, you know, he's trying to, he has wanted credit for that Herschel Walker trade and what led to the three amigos and everything else in those Super Bowls, something that Jimmy Johnson really did. He's wanted to do that himself this entire time and sort of get credit. He doesn't get credit for history there. And he, that's why he's still the GM, Drew. It's why he's owner and GM. And in some cases, you know, a GM wants to make this deal. I've heard others make this point. Owner and it will step in, right? And a lot of in most organizations say, well, that's a guy that wants to be with our franchise for life, not GM. That's not a good idea. In this case, you don't have an owner step in because he is the owner, and he can't help himself. And so if I'm a Cowboys fan, I've got the, you know, most valuable franchise in professional sports, and my owner is more concerned with keeping us in the news than he is at this point with winning Super Bowls. He's more concerned with proving points and wanting credit as a GM than he is with winning Super Bowls. It would drive me nuts, but you know, a Cowboy fan's been dealing with this for a while, so I would have a straitjacket on if I was one.
Yeah, well, and the other thing about it too is, like, the other story that's being pushed here is Jerry's able to play the long game, Jason, because he's also the owner, right? So that helps him, right, as a GM. I don't want to hear that. Like, he knows his business isn't going to get affected by trading away his best player. But whatever. I feel bad for Dallas sports fans. You had Luka traded away, who wanted to be a Maverick for life. Well, now you have Micah Parsons traded away. It's been rough. Like, I feel terrible for them. And for the Packers, I hate it, but it is such a haul. Like, it is. We saw what happened when the Bears traded for Khalil Mack. They became an instantly better team overnight because he was that game wrecker back then. The Packers just got that. So that's rough. I'm having a hard time coming to grips with it.
Same way.
But we will see what happens this season. All right, moving on. Tigers play this weekend. They got Chattanooga. If I just asked you, what do you want to see? Like, What are the most important things for Jason Smith to feel good about the rest of this Tigers football season? What does he need to see against an FCS team in week one? Is there anything that they can do that will make you feel a lot better about the season?
Domination. I mean, you'd want to see them. I think John was mentioning the line to me yesterday. I don't memorize those things, but I think it was around the same thing that Idaho State UNLV was, around 27.5, 28.5, somewhere in there. And you'd like to see Memphis come out and cover. Now, you know, it's all new pieces. It's basically a brand new team in many ways. But what you don't want to see is 500-plus yards given up, you know, like UNLV did. They ended up, down 10-0 or down at the half? I don't want to see that, Drew. I want to see. And Ryan Silverfield, for the most part, has been great against these FCS teams. John was reading off the scores to me yesterday. I went under on him not covering just because, again, you've got so many unknown questions. And it looked like Chattanooga's quarterback had a little bit of experience. And so maybe, you know, you get a 42-17, something like that, where there's not a cover. But still, even if I get that, that's what I want to see, some one-sidedness, you know, so that when you go out on the road in these next two, you feel pretty good about that. And, you know, being 3-0 heading into that big Arkansas game back here at Liberty Stadium. And so, no, Drew, I mean, I want to see an offense that, you know, we've speculated is going to be run first, but explosive in its run first way with DeRozier and with Sutton and then Brendan Lewis's ability to run the ball. You're going to be able to get creative in the run game in a way that you haven't been, you know, previously, and you're going to have to be because Brendan Lewis isn't some guy we've talked about. That's a prolific passer. So want to see what this new look run game, this dangerous run game, hopefully is going to look like. And then defensively, you want to see, you know, them come out all new defense, but play with some sort of, you know, chemistry, some sort of cohesion. That's hard to do week one, but it's a good opponent to get it together against. And yeah. You know, maybe you can even get to the backup quarterbacks, Arrington Maiden or A.J. Hill, because it's going so well. But complete domination would be what I'd like to see, Drew, because I think that's, you know, last night the AAC got a leg up in terms of the group of five race.
Yes, they did.
For the college football, you know, that spot, that to be that representative with that South Florida win. And so, you know, South Florida's a team that a lot have liked, especially if Byron Brown is going to be healthy, and Lord knows he showed us he's healthy last night. Now, if he keeps trying to run over everybody, he might not make it through the season. You sort of see some of the reasons why maybe he's not going to last. I mean, the guy thinks he's Cam Newton out there and was just running over Boise State guys left and right. I don't know if that's going to hold up, but if it does, you know, whether it's you being able to beat a South Florida team that's knocked off Boise State or someone else, you know, what you want to see from Memphis now is taking advantage of what should be top to bottom the best roster in the AAC, because you have those resources now, going out and making a statement in a year where, hey man, maybe these guys have all, you know, Boise State's girls still got to play Notre Dame. You know, the chances of them winning that now at this point, man, go Memphis, make that conference championship game like we say you're capable of, and see if you can win it, and maybe things have opened up for you. So I'm excited. It starts on Saturday, and hopefully it's a nice, easy test against an FCS team.
Yeah, how good was Genty? Because Boise State without him last – like, Ashton Genty, we were talking about in the first segment, he was unbelievable. Like, he was the entire team, it feels like. You turn around, you watch that game last night, they moved the ball okay, but it was not really that competitive. So that was a big win for the American.
Huge win for Golish. You know, yeah, you know, this is year three for him. He really needs a breakout season. I was talking about that with Jeffrey Wright, with Jeffrey yesterday on his show. And then to your point on Genty, what you've had, I mean, that was the most pass attempts, you know, for a Boise State quarterback since 2021. That's because you're used to just turning around and handing it off to Ashton Genty. So it's a new day for them. But a lot of that was that, man, that I did not expect South Florida to have that level of defense off top. And that was I think I might have been more impressed, or at least just as impressed with what they did defensively, because that's the area they had to shore up. And that's what Memphis is hoping to do, quite frankly, what they did defensively, as I was with what they did offensively. And by the way, that fake TD, that fake punt TD was a thing of beauty too, because at that point it's still 10-7 game. And yeah, that grabbed all the momentum, and you got to give all the credit in the world to South Florida. Great win for the I need to start getting used to the American. What's the Eagles, you know, our new mascot, what's
Soar.
His name? He's Soar's flying, or he's flying around proud today.
He is.
After that USF victory, truly is.
Last couple things. So you said you want to see domination out of the Tigers this weekend.
Please.
Do you take any pause at all knowing that they're hardly bringing back any players. And we just saw it with UNLV, right? UNLV played Idaho State in week one. They got a win, but they're playing a lot of transfers, right? They got a lot of fresh bodies, new guys in a new system on the field together. You see a lot of these teams that throw together a bunch of transfers struggle early in the season. So if it's not domination, are you willing to say we don't have to press the panic button yet on this team?
Yeah, depending upon how it goes. Sure. I'm willing to to take that into consideration, certainly, because I pointed to what you just did, that UNLV defense particularly. And that's the area, trusting guys who's behind you more so than the offense, it feels like to me, when you're replacing everything, that's the area where it might take a little bit more time to come together. And so, no, man, and I've said it, we've even looked. You know, Chattanooga looks like they've got a guy who's even won an FCS playoff game. And so, look, he's not going to be intimidated. It's their biggest game on their schedule. And so if they put up, 10, 17 points against a defense that's, still trying to figure things out, sure, I'm willing to. But if you're giving up 500-plus, then I'm going to be a little bit more concerned, Drew, because I still think the quality of athletes that you've had in terms of the guys that you've pulled in, you've got transfers from Power Four, you've pulled guys up that you feel like are going to be gems in the way that Chandler Martin was after bringing him from East Tennessee State. I still think with the quality of player you have, I don't want to see you giving up 500-plus. But if you've given up 10, 17 points and it's a, 300-yard allowed, 350 allowed game, yeah, certainly. And I'm going to say, yeah, hopefully that defense can look a little bit better as you head out on the road the next 2 weeks. But no, it'll be in the way it comes. And yeah, that side of the ball, I think you're hitting the nail on the head, Drew, is where when you're having to replace everything, that cohesion, that sort of trust on the defense, that's what you miss early on. That's got to be worked through. And hopefully they're able to sort of, whether it's through, creating chaos or whatever else, hopefully right off the bat, they're sort of able to establish a foundation with a bunch of all new guys. But that's the risk you run when you have to flip a roster in the way that Ryan Silverfield did this offseason.
And last thing, I know it's a little bit of a sensitive topic talking about attendance, but we got a sunny day tomorrow, 87. It's going to be a little hot, but not as hot as it was for, like, the golf tournament. What do we think? Like, how do you gauge the level of excitement for Tigers football? I'm a little bit more, I got to admit, I'm slightly more detached from Tigers football than I am from Tigers basketball because I covered that beat, right? And I know those people.
Understood.
But, like, Tigers football, I'm slightly more detached. So how do you measure sort of the excitement level for the season this year for Tigers football?
It doesn't feel like it was where it was at last year when you were picked one. Now, we didn't have a preseason, pick coaches list this year. The conference didn't do that. Others have gone that route. But from where the betting odds are, it doesn't look like the Tigers would have been picked first, probably third or fourth. That said, so I think it's not the same level as last year. I've talked to a lot of people who said they're going out on Saturday, and hopefully you'll have a nice crowd. I do. My vibe, though, Drew, what I feel is that it's going to be a sort of wait and see.
Yeah.
After last year, you're picked first, you finished tied for third. It's essentially fourth because you lost to Navy. I think there's going to be some wait and see, and especially the way the schedule sets up, where you've got the two road games right after this and you come back with the big one against Arkansas. So I think because you're playing an FCS opponent, it's going to be tough to ask, to have a packed house on Saturday. I think it's a tough ask. I do think you'll have a pretty good crowd, folks wanting to see, hey, man, this is a new quarterback in Brendan Lewis. You're moving on from Seth Hennigan. There'll be a lot of folks that want to get eyes on it. And so you'll have a good crowd, but I think, expecting a packed house, nah, you're probably setting yourself up for disappointment. Packed house could be what you've got and should be what you've got if you've done what you're supposed to do, which is win your first three games, come back home to that Arkansas game, and hopefully everybody's all in on this Memphis team by then. Because, again, you got hope in the AAC now. You got real hope now with that as that AAC champion, if you can win it, to be that group of five rep. So I do think maybe the ceiling's gone up, Oh, wait a minute. If we can be good this year, it looks like Boise State's going to take a tumble and not be that pick. There's hope there now that maybe wasn't there before last night. But, I think the big one will be for Arkansas so long as Memphis takes care of business, goes 3-0.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hopefully they can do that and we get a big crowd. I'll be there. I'll be in the house for Arkansas if –
I think a lot of – yeah.
I think
a lot of people jump on at that point. Oh, yeah.
All right, Jason. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. And
keep up the great work, brother.
Yeah,
bear
of
down.
Course. Yeah, bear down. Hopefully we can get through this Micah Parsons news. All right. When we come back, I will be joined by my colleague, Chris Harrington. Chris and I host the Daily Memphians Memphis Grizzlies podcast together. We'll see you in a few minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report,